Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. I also want to welcome you to the service this morning. And as I was studying for this message, Revelations 22, verse 17 kept coming to my mind. And I'm just going to read it, and then I'll expound on it a little bit. Revelations 22, verse 17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." As I thought about that verse, there's people here that have been walking with the Lord for some time, maybe years. And then there are some that have been maybe walking with the Lord 20 years, or maybe 10 years. Some have maybe never entered into the kingdom, thinking, well, I don't know if I am worthy to enter. I have been a pretty bad person. This morning, it is saying, come. Come as you are, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. It's Christ Jesus is that water of life. Come to him. If you think that you have been, it takes faith. It takes faith to believe that God is for you. He's on your side. He wants you in his kingdom. So I just want to leave that with you. Where I want to preach out of this morning is out of James 4. So if you want to turn your Bibles to James 4, that's where most of my where I'm going to be at this morning. James, which I believe was a half brother of Jesus, and he wrote. If you go to James 1, you can see that he wrote to the book to the people, to the Jewish. I would say it's going to be the Jewish Christians that are scattered all over the world. So he's writing to them, and I believe he's encouraging them to stay with it. So this is, I would believe, would be an early church, and he's writing to them, to the early church. So starting at verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, we can see already that there's some issues in the early church. So it says, verse 1, it says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you?" It's a question. "Come then not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not." When I hear things like that in a church where I believe is people that believe that they're adopted into the kingdom, but there is things going on like this here, and I just it grieves me, because it's for the testimony of Christ, it's grieving. But what really is going on there? There's strife there. There's covetousness there, and he's referring it to wars and fightings. And I had to think about 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. There also, Paul is talking to the Corinthians there, and it says, "For ye are carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And as we read that there, the first three verses there, that looks pretty carnal. And then we go on, and he starts with prayer in second verse there, towards the end there in the verse. It says, actually, I'm just going to read that. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Here, again, it's talking about prayer. And something that the enemy wants to attack is our prayer life. He wants to, if we have a vibrant prayer life, we are going to be effective as a Christian. But if the enemy can attack us in that area, here it says, because we ask not. But I know that God has already answered prayer or given me something that I haven't asked for. So I praise God for that. And it says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own, upon your lusts. So I believe there is a way that we can pray that, how can I say this? That we ask for something that would glorify ourselves. But I think it's important that we pray that it's according to God's will that would glorify Him. 1 John 3, verse 21 to 22 says, it says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence. Then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And there is the difference. If we are in right standing with God, if our heart does not condemn us, and whatever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And I do also believe that God's not just going to give us everything that we think we need. He gives us what He knows that what we need. So going on to verse 4 there, it says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So there, it looks to me, it is talking about adulterers and adulteresses, which I would look as male and female. I think what he's bringing out here is a spiritual adulteress. This means if you're in the church and you desire the things of the world, I think that grieves the Spirit of God. Because if you have committed your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. The Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Holy Spirit desires to have fellowship with the Father. And it grieves the Spirit if we desire the things of the world. And we read in, I'm not sure where it is, where you cannot love God and the world. I'm not quite sure what the words are there, but you can't love both. It's either God or the world. And that's where verse 5 said, do you think that the scripture saith in me, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? And I was just, as I just shared earlier, the Holy Spirit living within us grieves if we desire the things of the world. But verse 6, I like that. That verse there says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. If the verses that I just read, does that look like a church with humility? Or does it look like there's a church with pride? And I guess I'll let that up to you. But God, here it says, God giveth grace unto the humble. He resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. And I just, as we look at being proud, it's being self-centered. It's about us. But if it's about, if we're humble, it's recognizing that our worth comes from God. Verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. So, submitting ourselves to God. Why would we submit ourselves to God? He is our creator. He created us. And he loves us. A lot of us in here have a loving father. And they love us because you're their son or daughter. And they want the best for you. And wouldn't it be a shame if you would not submit to that father, to your father? The same way I think it is with our Heavenly Father. It says, submit to him. Submit to God. Another reason we should submit to God is because he is the only way to salvation through Jesus, through the blood of Jesus. Another one is the reason we submit to him is the only way we can have peace with God. We submit to him because he's the only way we can have peace with God. So if we submit ourselves to God, it says resist the devil. And I'm just going to share a little bit on where, so there's times where I am discouraged. I'm just discouraged because things aren't going the way I should. I get discouraged. I get distracted. So what's my response to that? I know that's not from God. I know it's from the enemy. So what do I do? What did Jesus do? He resisted the devil. And I believe that's the same way we can do. So I get discouraged, knowing it's from the enemy. It's not from God. So I just start quoting scripture. God is my rock. He is my refuge. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And it doesn't take very long. That discouragement leaves. We resist the devil in that way. Here it says, I realize here it doesn't say there's a demon within us. It says resist it. It says resist it. As Christians, I believe the lowliest Christian that comes in the authority of Jesus Christ has that authority to resist the devil. In our thought life, in our desires that just don't want to go away, we can resist the devil. Sometimes we also need a brother to come along and help us with that. And we need to humble ourselves and say, brother, I need help. I need help to resist the devil that wants to come with impure thoughts. And it says here, there's a promise. There's a promise here. And he will flee from you. If we come to in authority of Jesus Christ, he will flee from us. But I also recognize it's not a once and done thing. It's a continuing. He wants to come and give us impure thoughts or whatever it may be. We continue to resist the devil. And it says, he will flee from you. It's a promise. Verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Beautiful. If you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. How do you draw nigh to God? It can be through prayer. It can be through worship. It can be through many things. But God so desires to have a relationship with each one of us. Each one of us is very special in his eyes. And if we come to him, if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. And I would even just say it happens even throughout the day. If you're at work, whatever you're doing, just recognize God is here. We're saying, God, we draw nigh to you. If you're at home taking care of the children, God is there. He wants to. And you just say, I draw nigh to you. And he will draw nigh to us. It goes on. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I believe if you draw nigh to God and he draw nigh to you, there is a chance that he will bring things to your mind that I need to take care of. This needs to be out of my life. I need to repent that I have lived this life. It says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to heaviness. It's just saying we need to humble ourselves. And it's just that there, just it's repenting. Through the blood of Jesus, we come to him. Then it goes on to say, humble yourself in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. It's just referring again, wherefore, in the verse 6 there, it says, wherefore, he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Can we humble ourselves? We can, just humbling ourselves is recognizing our worth comes from God alone. It is leaning on his power and his guidance, not our independent effort. Although we do not deserve his favor, he reaches out to us in love and gives us worth and dignity despite our human shortcomings. I got that out of the study Bible there. But that just ministered to me. Humbling ourselves means recognizing our worth comes from God alone. And it says, the Lord will lift us up. If we are proud, it's one way that God will resist us. And again, but if you humble yourself, there's grace there for that. Verse 11 says, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? It's just, here again, it's an extension on what James is, on its extension on humility, on what James is talking about in this chapter. It's just a spirit of humility. If we have proper humility, there's nothing within us that wants to put another brother down. We don't want to put another brother down. Now, if we see a brother there's some things in his life that are not lining up with the Word of God, I think we can judge that, but not the brother. And we can even just share with him what we see. But here in verse 12 it says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy, and that is God. Who art thou that judgest another? Then we go on to verse 13. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while, time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil. And I just had to think about, we have a business, and we have a vision for our business. There is a vision that we have. And I think that's good and right. We have a vision, as a family. There's goals that we have. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. But can we, as we plan, as we look into the future, and this is where we want to be, we still have it in open hands and say, God, you still direct our path. You still direct us. Because you ultimately know what we want, what we need. You ultimately know where this should go. So we say, here, this is the vision, this is the plan. And not the thing. And if it goes well, we praise God. We praise God. Then verse 17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So in this chapter here, what is the good that we've seen in this chapter that we know to do? And the one is, humble ourselves. That's a good thing. Are we doing it? Another one is, submit yourselves to God. That's a good thing. Are we doing it? Resist the devil. Again, with the authority that Jesus has given us, we resist the devil. And it's a good thing. Are we doing it? Draw nigh to God. That's a good thing. Are we doing it? Cleanse your hands. Purify your hearts. Again, it says, speak. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Verse 11, it says, speak not evil one of another. That's a good thing, to not speak evil of another. Are we doing it? And just maybe some of you smaller children here, you know, we all know that lying is not good, is sin. You know, lying is sin. But what about if we know the truth, but we don't say anything? What about if not, you know, we probably wouldn't speak evil of another. I hope you don't. But what about if someone needs your friendship, but you don't go and make yourself be available? Those are things that I think he's talking about here. If we know to do good, but we don't do that, it's sin. So that is what I have for this morning. I hope that has been an encouragement to you. I hope that has been a blessing to continue, I guess, walking with the Lord, submitting yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I think as Christians, we need to understand that. Submitting ourselves to God. As Christians, we have the authority through the blood of Jesus to resist the devil. And God bless you.